Well, good morning and a very warm welcome to you all. It's great to be able to meet together this morning to worship God and to celebrate the joy and the wonder of Christmas. Welcome to our international carol service here at Little Hill Church. Whether you are joining us locally or maybe you're in some other part of the world this morning, or it might not even be morning where you are, it's great to know that we can meet together this way to worship God and to rejoice together in this wonderful time that we're approaching, the time of Christmas. My name is Joshua Harrison. I'm from Little Hill Church, and I'm going to be leading the service this morning. It's great to welcome our speaker as well, Joe Bailey. It's great to have Joe with us, and a little later on this morning, Joe will be opening up something from the Bible, from God's Word, as we have this time together this morning. What else are we going to be doing? Well, at Christmas, we love to sing the carols, don't we? The songs, the hymns that remind us, that tell the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, who came into the world. And we're going to be singing some of these lovely, familiar carols. And as we do, the words will be there for you on the screen. Please do join in. Maybe it's an opportunity, if you've never sung them before, to learn some new songs this morning with us. But they tell the wonderful story of the Lord Jesus coming into this world and his birth. We're going to be hearing from the Bible, verses from God's Word that will be read to us. Somebody's going to be sharing their story as a Christian with us as well this morning for us to listen to. There's lots going on. The most important thing in everything we do this morning is that we're ready to listen to what God might say to us today, and that we might be pointed to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might come to know him for ourselves and have that joy of knowing Christ as our Lord and our Savior too. So a very warm welcome to you, wherever you are joining us this morning.
The reading today is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 from the Bible. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
We're going to sing our first carol this morning. It's O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let me just give you a little bit of the story of this lovely carol. It was written by a man called Philip Brooks in 1865, shortly after 1865. And in that year, he visited Israel. And on Christmas Eve, he took a horseback ride from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, approaching the village of Bethlehem and as it was starting to get dark. And this really made an impression on him. And so a year or two later, he wrote this lovely carol. And I think had in mind that time when he approached Bethlehem in the quiet of the evening and saw that little village lying there, a little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee. So do join in with us. As I said, the words will be there for you to join in, and do sing along as we sing this lovely carol together. Thank you.
Bye.
as we go into the week, again, just keeping it to the bare this week, Tuesday, the ladies' meeting, it's the ladies' Christmas praise online. So ladies, do join in with that. Again, you can access that on the website and join in. That's at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Thursday this week, our midweek meeting is available on our YouTube channel at 7:15. And again, looking at the names of Christ, but as we get towards Christmas, thinking of some of those words that Penny read for us earlier, the names of the Lord Jesus. And this week, looking at him being Mighty God. Then as we go forward to next Sunday, God willing, we'll be back in the church building. Be great to see folks back here again. And following our morning service at 10:30, we will be taking the Lord's Supper together as well. So if you're wanting to come, please again, go to that link on the website and just let us know that you're coming so we can set out the right number of chairs for everybody hoping to make it on Sunday morning next week. Please do as well keep your eye on the website for other information and also about our Christmas services, just to share those with you as well. On Sunday the 20th of December, we have our other carol service, our next carol service, and that will be at 5:30, again, streamed on YouTube. We'd love for you to join us for that time as well. We'll be singing more carols and reading more of God's word and hearing more about the joy and the wonder of Christmas. So that's at 5:30 on the 20th of December. And then Christmas morning, 10 o'clock as well, here hopefully in the building for our Christmas morning service. And we'd love you to be able to join us for those times. Let's come again then to God in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, we come to you at nearing the end of what's been a very difficult year. We think of all that's been different for us, Lord, in lots of different settings, not only in work or education, but in family and socially. So much has been affected by this coronavirus pandemic, and not just local to us here in Leicester or even the UK, but worldwide. Father, we are so aware of how much people have lost, whether it's been work opportunities, whether it's been education opportunities, whether it's been social opportunities, holidays and breaks and things to enjoy, but more seriously, those who've lost loved ones and friends during this time. And Father, there's been a year when there's been much grief and sadness, much that causes us to be down and discouraged. But we thank you as we come to this time of Christmas, as we think of your Son coming into the world, we are reminded that there is still hope. That even when life is difficult and hard, that there can be joy, that we can know peace through knowing Jesus Christ. But this morning, Heavenly Father, we would pray for our world. We pray for those nations in the world that are really struggling to cope with this virus. We think of nations that are not as wealthy as ours, that don't have the same health care as we do. We are so blessed here to have the help that we do. But Heavenly Father, we pray for those parts of the world that are really struggling at this time, when they don't have that same opportunity and that same support. We thank you for this news of vaccines recently and how that's rapidly progressing. And we pray for ourselves and the rest of the world as this happens. We pray that that might be a way that this pandemic comes to an end, and in your mercy, it might be effective. And we pray that there would be a real sense of world community in sharing the resources, sharing the vaccine and sharing the help with those less able than ourselves. As a nation, Lord, help us to look out for the interests and the concerns and needs of others as we look after ourselves as well. Father, we think of parts of the world where there's great unrest, where there is still war in some areas, where there are riots, Lord, and civil unrest and disputes, Lord, political disputes ongoing. We pray for your peace. Father, we thank you, as Penny reminded us from that verse earlier, that the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son who came, is the Prince of Peace, and that through knowing him, that's where we find real peace, peace with God, peace with one another. And we pray that that true peace that Christ brings might be known by many more this Christmas time, that in these places of unrest and war and difficulty, that you would bring your peace through many coming to know the Lord Jesus. Father, we would pray for ourselves this morning in our own circumstances, perhaps grieving the loss of loved ones, maybe facing great hardship and difficulty because of all that's been happening. Heavenly Father, we come to you in our need, and we pray that you might help us. Thank you for the wonderful promises in the Bible of the God that you are, and how you care, and how you are a refuge.
So help us to find that this morning, we pray. And as we approach this Christmas time, make us ready. There's so many things that would distract us. We can get caught up with the tinsels and the turkeys, the presents and the parties, even the snow, and thinking of all these other things that we associate with this time of year. But help us not to lose our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that this is all about. And so, Lord, this morning particularly, keep our minds fixed on him. Help Joe as he comes in a few minutes' time to speak to us, and speak through him to us, we pray. But Lord, we ask that across our world, with this difficult year we've been, there might be great joy and rejoicing, remembering the birth of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you sent him. We thank you in his precious name. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Trevor now for the children's talk. Thank you, Trevor.
Hello, boys and girls. Great to be with you again this morning.
Now, I wonder if you have one of these at home. This, of course, is an advent calendar. And you've probably been opening the little doors on advent calendars since the beginning of December. So on day one, we opened door number one. On day two, door number three. And behind each door, you might have some chocolate. I don't have any chocolate. I've just got little pictures in mine. Sad, isn't it, not having chocolate? But, so there's pictures here of a Christmas tree. There's a candle there. And today is the 6th of December, number 6. So I'm going to open door number 6. And, oh, it's a little robin. Isn't that nice? Now, it's good fun opening advent calendar doors. But I wonder if you know what advent means. Well, advent actually means coming. Coming. What is coming? Christmas is coming. It's also a time to remember someone who was coming to earth. Now, there's some of the pictures on mine. I'm going to show you some of the sort of pictures we might get on an advent calendar. So you might have a picture of something like this, an angel. Why an angel? Why an angel? Well, an angel first came to bring news to Mary. And the angel told Mary that she was going to have a baby, but it was going to be a very special baby. A baby sent by God. You might get a picture of something like this, a donkey. Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem, and many people think they rode on a donkey. Well, they might have. They might not, but donkeys are nice, aren't they? They're nice things to see. Then you might get a picture of, what's this? A stable. Why would you get a picture of a stable? A stable is a place where animals lived. Well, of course, when Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, there was no space in any of the hotels, in any of the guest houses, in any of the inns. The only place they could get to stay was in a stable. A stable is a place where horses and donkeys and cows and so on live. So it wouldn't be very clean. And it would be smelly. Ooh. But it was in a stable that Mary gave birth to her baby. Imagine being born in a stable. Then you might get a picture of, what's this? A manger. How does this come into the story? A manger is where the animals eat. But of course, they didn't have a cot to put the baby in. So the baby had to be placed in a manger. That's a bit unusual, isn't it? A bit different. You might get more pictures of angels. These ones are playing instruments and they were singing, but lots of angels, because suddenly after Jesus was born, there was a whole group of angels, and these angels were bringing a very special message, and they were bringing the message to a group of shepherds out in the fields by Bethlehem looking after their sheep. Some angels appeared and said to them, a special baby had been born, and they should go and visit this baby. It was lying in a manger, and they became the first visitors. Well, we get lots of pictures like these in our Advent calendars, don't we? And then when you get up to the last door, and if I pick my Advent calendar up, the last door is number 24. But when's Christmas? Christmas is on the 25th, but the last picture, and this has got a double door to open here, is often a picture that looks something like this. It's a picture that shows the stable with Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus, some animals, and that is usually the last picture, and it's always on Christmas Eve, the 24th, that you open that on an Advent calendar. So Advent calendars are good fun, but you know, boys and girls, there's a big problem with Advent calendars. They might be fun, you might enjoy the chocolates, you might enjoy the pictures, but Advent calendars, oh dear, they don't tell us something. They don't tell us who was born, and they don't tell us why this baby was born. These two important questions, they don't tell us anything about who was this baby and why was this baby born. I wonder where we'd find the answer to this. In our Bibles. Now, if we open our Bibles, we can find the answer to who this baby was. Because remember me saying about the angels bringing in a message? And this is some of the words these angels said to the shepherds. They said, today a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I'll read that again. Today a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So this baby was Christ. This baby was Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Christmas is really named after Jesus because it is Christmas, Christmas. It's the day we remember Jesus being born, his birthday, if you like. So that is who was born. Jesus Christ was born. But what was about that other question? Why? You see, we get nice pictures like this. But why was Jesus born? And again, going back to those words that the angels said, they said that this baby was going to be a saviour. What does that mean? Well, Jesus came really to die. Because when he died 30 years later, he died to save people. He died to take their punishment when he died. You see, the real important part about this whole story is not the birth of Jesus. The real important part is his death, because that's when he became a saviour. And if we trust in Jesus, we can know how he can save us so that we can be put right with God. Well, I hope you enjoy your Advent calendars, but remember those two really important questions. What were they again? Who and why? Who was born and why? Now, we're going to have a song, but you might be wondering, why isn't Trevor going to stand here to sing? It's because Trevor's got to go back and play the piano. So some other people are going to sing for us today. All right?
So-
associated more with children, but not only children. It's a lovely carol, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. Thank you. Now we have something a little bit different for you this morning. Penny Wang, who's very involved with the student work in the city with the international students, has interviewed one of them. They're going to share something of their story with you this morning, their testimony. So I'll hand over to them virtually as they share that with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sue. Why don't you just start with telling us a bit about yourself? Where are you from and what are you doing in Leicester?
Hello, everyone. My name is Sue. I'm from China. I did a master's degree at Dimonfu University. My subject was management in creative industries.
So Sue, this is a carol service. You have been in the UK for a while. Have you got any favorite carol?
Yes, my favorite carol is Angels We Have Heard on High.
How about your favorite Christmas food?
Christmas mulled wine. Actually, I tried it when I was traveling in Europe.
That sounds very interesting. So, Sue, for some people, Christmas is about Santa Claus or is about receiving gifts. What about you? What does Christmas mean to you?
For me, Christmas is an important time when we remember the birth of Jesus.
So you are not from a Christian family in China. How did you become a Christian?
I met some people at a fresh fair from my church. Then I decided to go to the church to have a look. After that, I joined a course called Afro Course. I learned many things about Christianity about Afro Course. For example, I did not believe in the existence of God, but after Afro Course, I learned Jesus is the only God and I wanted to follow him. Whenever I visit a church, I feel it is like my home. That's how I become Christian.
So since you became a Christian, has Jesus changed you in any way?
My education told me there's no God I used to think life is very short, and after we die, we just disappear. This makes me think life is meaningless. After I become Christian, I realize that in our short life, God has plans for us. That's why life is meaningful. When we die, it is not end for us if we believe in Jesus, because we will be with God forever in heaven. This gives me hopes.
Thanks. So Sue, there are some international students who are listening to your testimony at the moment, and maybe they have never heard of Jesus. Is there anything you want to say to them?
Yes. If you have a similar education background as me, and you were told there's no God, please give God a chance. You can do what I did. Maybe join the Bible study group at Global Cafe to learn more about Jesus. So please explore first and make a decision yourself. The Bible says if you seek Him, you will find Him. I hope one day you will find Him.
Thank you so much, Sue. And I guess it's all our hope for our international students that one day they will find Jesus and they will know that we have a God who loves so much that He even wanted to die for us. So we wish you all a Merry Christmas. Thank you again for joining us, Sue.
Well, that was really great to hear from Sue and Penny there, and to hear what Sue said about, as a Christian, life having real meaning and hope. And she encouraged us to look into the Bible, to what God has said, and she mentioned seeking God in the Bible. And it's interesting that she should use that expression, think of that verse from the Bible, because that's very similar to something we're about to read. If you have a Bible, please turn to Isaiah chapter 55. If you haven't, don't worry, the words hopefully are there for you on the screen. It's Isaiah 55. I'm going to read Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 9. And I think I'll just double check that that's right. Okay, so we're going to go with Isaiah 55, 1 to 9. So apologies for that, no problems. So written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 55. Let me share these words with you. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you did not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, I'm going to hand over to Joe now. He's going to explain these things to us. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to be able to bring something from God's word to you this morning. And just before we do that, we're just going to ask the help of God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this carol service, for this opportunity to remember what you have done in sending your Son into this world to show you, to show us, Lord, who you are and your great love for us. Please help us as we hear your word now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I was to ask you, what has made 2020 unique, or what makes 2020 special, I wonder what answer you give me. Perhaps you might talk about lockdowns and pandemics and masks and such things. But did you know there's another reason why 2020 is special? It's something that perhaps if there hadn't been the pandemic, we might have heard more about, but it's actually the anniversary of something. 400 years ago, a group of people from England got into a boat on the south coast in a city called Plymouth, and they traveled across the Atlantic Ocean and landed in North America. Maybe you know who I'm talking about. It's the Pilgrim Fathers. There, they founded what was to be one of the greatest nations in the history of the world. Now, why did they go on that journey? Why did they travel to North America? It was a terrible journey. It was something which you wouldn't do just for the fun of it. It took 66 days. Their ship had been delayed leaving port, so it was freezing. It was over the winter. They hit so many storms that for most of the journey, the passengers couldn't even stand up. And at some points, they even thought the ship would be destroyed. Yet they made it there to North America, and they set their feet upon this rock, known as the Plymouth Rock. And now that's called Plymouth, Massachusetts, in the United States. And there they settled. But why did they do it? Well, the reason is that they were seeking an opportunity for a new start, an opportunity to escape the difficulties and the persecutions they'd faced here in Britain and to go to a new place for a new start. I wonder in your life if you've had great opportunities or not. Perhaps you've had great opportunities to study, and you see that as something wonderful that you've been able to come here to get a degree in Leicester and to study here. Maybe you look at other people and you see the opportunities they've had in their life, maybe financial opportunities, and you've thought, I wish I could have had those opportunities. As Josh mentioned in his prayer, many people this year are losing out on opportunities that they thought they would have. But I want to share something from the Bible with you this morning, and that's this, that whoever you are, whatever background you're from, you have the greatest opportunity in the world today. What is that opportunity? It's the opportunity to seek, to find, and to know the living God. That's what these verses here in Isaiah are talking about, and we're going to be focusing particularly this morning on verses 5, 6, and 7. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, these verses are telling us three different things about this opportunity to seek, find, and know God. Now, the first one is this. God invites you to seek him. God invites you to seek him. Now, think of great people throughout history. Often those who have great positions in the world do not want to be sought out by ordinary people. The emperors of China lived in the Forbidden City, and there were great walls around that city so that no ordinary person could enter and come into their presence. The rich and famous today have their bodyguards to keep people away from them, particularly those who might cause harm, but to keep the ordinary people away. For a few months, I lived in Berkshire, in a town called Windsor you probably know of. And when you drove around the streets and the roads in Berkshire, you'd see gated driveway after gated driveway where the rich and the famous live. But the house was so far down the drive, so far behind great gates and a wall, that you'd never even see the house, let alone the people who live in there. But when we look at these verses from the Bible, we see that God is a God who actually invites us to seek him. Listen to what he says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now let's think about who it is who is asking us and inviting you to seek him. It is not any earthly monarch or king. It's not some celebrity. No, it's far greater than that. The person speaking here is the living God, the one who has no beginning and no end, the one who created all things by the very word of his mouth, the one who right now is giving you every heartbeat, every breath, the creator of all things, the sustainer and giver of life. That's who it is who is inviting you to seek him. He is the God who has all power, the God who knows all things, the God who judges, the God who has power to save and to destroy. Here he is speaking to us, speaking to you and me, and inviting us to seek him, to search for him. Now, why is God doing that? Is it because he's lonely? Is it because he needs you? Well, I can tell you on the authority of God's word that he certainly doesn't need anything. He gives life and breath to everyone. Everything you have today, everything you own, every family member you're related to, every day that you've been in this world, all of those things come from God. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need us. But when we look into the pages of the Bible, we find out that though he is such a great and almighty God, yet he loves us. And he invites us to know him and to enjoy him forever. Seek the Lord, the Bible says. But you might say to me, well, how can I know for sure that God wants me to know him? It's hard to believe that someone so great should take an interest and so love me to invite me to know him. Well, that's what we think about at Christmas time. That's why Jesus Christ came. I don't know what kind of phone or laptop you've got at the moment, but probably it's HD. Over time, the resolution that we can watch things in has increased. YouTube, 10 years ago, if you were watching this, it would be 720 pixels. Now you can get it in 4K. The resolution's getting greater, the detail's getting clearer. And as we read through the Bible, what we see is that God is showing himself to us. But it's pixelated to begin with. It's difficult to make out God in all of his glory until he sends his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God. One of Jesus' disciples, John, said that the Word, that's Jesus, he became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, we saw with our eyes his glory, his greatness. Why did God become a man as a baby and grow and live before us so that all people could see him and hear him and speak to him and know him? Why? Because he wanted us to know him. He wanted to reveal himself to us, but ultimately he wanted to demonstrate his love to us. Because Christ was not only born into this world, but he died in this world upon Calvary's cross. The Bible says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still far from God, Christ died for us. So God invites you to seek him. But you might be very new to the God of the Bible. You might not know much about Jesus Christ, and you might say to me, well, Joe, that's fine that you're telling me that I should seek God. But the question is, how do I seek God? How do I seek God? Well, the good news is today that God tells you how you should seek him. He tells you how to seek him. It was a few years ago, 2014, I think it was, Valentine's Day, that I got into my car, drove down from Leicester to Stansted Airport. And there I caught a plane over to the west coast of Ireland, where I was going for my first date with Tammy, who is now my wife. I'd had it all planned out meticulously. I'd researched the restaurants in her town. I'd told her of where we were going to meet. And I even had a little chocolate rose with me. It was all going to go so well. I had it planned out in my mind. But that morning, as is typical in an Irish winter, a great storm had struck the west coast of Ireland. And it had knocked out all of the internet, all of the Wi-Fi, all of the 4G, so there was no mobile signal on the west coast of Ireland. And so I arrived there with no map. I got the bus to the town, I got that far, but I could not use any map to find my way to the restaurant. So I found some locals and asked them directions. And they pointed me so far until I got to a sign. And then I began to follow the sign to the business park where I thought the restaurant was. But the wind had blown the sign to the wrong way. So I got completely lost, and it took me hours to meet up eventually with Tammy. It was a bit of a fail for a first date. I'm surprised she married me, but there we go. So I'd been searching for this destination, but I was doing it without a map. I had no way to truly find that place. And you know, unless we have a map to guide us, unless we have God's instructions in how to seek him and find him, we will never find him. That's what religion is. It's man making up their own way of seeking God. And that's why there are so many religions in the world. They're different ways of people trying to come up with their own method for finding and pleasing God. But all of them will fail. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. Doesn't lead to life. Doesn't lead to God. It leads to death. But here in the Bible, what we find is that God has given us a map, and it tells us how we might seek and find him. What does the Bible say? Well, we're told this in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. The Bible here is telling us there's two things that you need to do if you want to begin to seek God. The first thing is this: you've got to stop seeking everything else. I wonder what you're ultimately seeking in life. Perhaps your ultimate goal in life is money, to be financially secure, to get that job. Perhaps your ultimate goal in life is to please others. And you spend your life on perhaps social media presenting this image and living off the dopamine hits of likes and subscribes and whatnot. Maybe you live for relationships. That's what you seek out for ultimately in life. Or sexual pleasure, and you're enslaved to those things, or food, or experience, or travel, and these are the things that you're seeking out ultimately in life. Well, the Bible says those things are not God, and that means that's idolatry. It's making something into God which is not God, and it's sin ultimately. Well, the Bible calls us to turn our backs on living for those things, to turn our back on sin and to stop seeking that for our life, but instead to turn round to the Lord. In 2011, a great tsunami hit Japan, and it caused a meltdown in the Fukushima nuclear power plant. But there had to be people that went in there to try and sort the mess out. And they would have been given particular protective clothing, but I can guarantee you when their shifts were finished and they were taken out of the disaster zone, they would have immediately removed that clothing. They would have realized that to keep it on would have killed them. And that's what you need to do to begin to seek God, is to realize this: if you carry on living for self and for sin, it will kill you. It will kill your soul now and eternally. And so you say, I want to forsake that way. I want to stop choosing to go the wrong direction when God's map tells me to go this way. And it tells us, secondly, to return to the Lord. Second step in seeking God is to return to Him. How do we return to God? Well, we see God revealed in Jesus Christ, the one who came and lived and died for us. And we come to God through Him. It tells us in verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. What does it mean to call upon God? It's to realize our distress, to realize the emptiness of our life, to realize our guilt that we can't shake off by our religion and efforts and works, and to realize that only the Lord Jesus can save us. And so we come to God, we seek God through the Lord Jesus. He is the doctor that can heal our souls. He is the judge that can completely forgive our sins. He is the friend who has loved us from eternity. And so we return to Him. But you might ask me, well, why should I come to God? Why should I seek God? Well, that's the next thing that our verses tell us today. Here, God gives us two reasons why we should seek Him. The first one is told us at the end of verse 7. He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. How do you respond when someone upsets you? When someone does something terrible to you? You probably experienced that in your life. Maybe it was a loved one, someone close to you. Someone you've been in a relationship with and they've wounded you. And you know what? You might tell them that you've forgiven them. But then perhaps you bring it up again in the future when you want to get something out of that person. You remind them of what they did to you. Or perhaps you say, I'll forgive you when you've done X and Y and Z and made it absolutely clear to me that you are really sorry. Well, you know, friends, that's not how God deals with us. And just listen to His word here. How will the Lord deal with anyone who seeks Him through His Son, Jesus Christ? he will have mercy. Another translation says, compassion. And that is God's heart to anyone who seeks him. He is waiting and willing and able and ready to receive you. And to do what when you come to him? To abundantly pardon you. To forgive your sin. One preacher once said that men forgive pence, but God forgives pounds. I think that was written about a few hundred years ago, so we could multiply that now. God is able and willing to forgive anyone who comes to him through Christ. God will forgive great sins, things that perhaps only you know that you've done, things that you're ashamed of, things done in private and sins done in public. God can forgive them. He will abundantly pardon, but he also forgives all sins. There is complete forgiveness for anyone who comes and seeks the Lord while he may be found. But I want you to know that the opportunity to seek the Lord does not last forever. Those pilgrim fathers who sailed to North America in 1620, they would have invited friends, come with us. And they had the opportunity then to say, yes, I will go, or no, I will not. And I'm sure for some, they who said no, they would have looked back and realized that they never had a chance to go again, that they missed a great opportunity. And you know, the opportunity to seek God is time limited. It does not go on forever, because our lives don't go on forever. If you went onto Amazon recently during the Black Friday sales, it gave you a defined timeline which you could buy goods at a reduced price. We have a defined timeline, but the difference is you don't know the end of it. None of us know how long we're going to be in this world for. You can be young and fit and healthy today, and tomorrow you can be in a hospital bed, and the day after you can be dead. And after death, the Bible says, comes the judgment. There is no second chance to seek God. Now is the day of salvation. The opportunity stretches this life only, but no further. And that's why you shouldn't put off seeking God. He's there ready to receive you should you seek him. He's willing to reveal himself to you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. So don't put it off and miss out on the greatest opportunity in the world. We're now going to sing our final carol, Silent Night, Silent Night.
Silent night, all our rain.
thank you for bringing that message to us, Joe, and that clear reminder of why it is we need to seek the Lord, the God who invites us. What a great message that's been for us this morning, pointing us to what Christmas truly is about, that invitation through the Lord Jesus Christ to know God, to know that mercy, and to return to Him. And like you've been encouraged, don't put off doing that. Today is the day. Now is the time to do that. If you'd like to know more about the Christian faith, more about what it really means to know God, as Joe has been explaining to us this morning, then please do get in touch. You can go to our website, www.littlehill.org, and on there you'll find lots of resources. There's a page where you can contact us, send us a message, and get in touch. There's also lots of literature and free resources that we'd love to send you, or even to send you a Bible so that you can read for yourself the wonderful plan of God to rescue this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. There'd be nothing more we'd like to do than to help you and to send anything we can to help you discovering these truths for yourself. So please, don't worry, it's free. We'd love to send it to you. Get in touch and please do ask us if we can help. Let me remind you again of our other Christmas services coming up this Sunday afternoon on the 20th of December at 5:30, and also Christmas morning at 10 o'clock. And these will be available for you to watch on YouTube and to join with us as well, rejoicing in and celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for taking the time to worship God with us and to learn more again about what He's done in sending the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish with a prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are the God who invites us to know You, that through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a way has been opened for us to come back to You. You are the only God. It's not like there's lots of others for us to choose from. You alone are God. But we thank You that You've not left this world. You've not left us as we are in our sin and in our mess and under that judgment, but You have provided a way. Lord, help us, we pray, to really take to heart what's been shared with us from Your word, the Bible, this morning. Help us to understand if there are still some things that are unclear in our minds. Help us to understand them, that we might be those who seek You while You may be found, that we would know that joy of that mercy and that pardon of our sins forgiven. Thank You for these opportunities that we have. Thank You that while things are still so hard, we can still meet together in this way. And we pray that You might truly bless our Christmas time as we keep the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of all our celebrations, of all that we do, remembering You gave us Your Son. So in His name, we want to thank You for our time together this morning and all that we can enjoy today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.